Good afternoon. We'll call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:35 PM Thursday, May 5th. Present today, we have Vice Chair Schauer, Senator Machicki, Senator Keel, and myself, Chair Myers. It gives us a quorum to conduct business. Staffing the committee today, as always, Nancy Hemingway is back with us from Senate Records. Talia is our moderator, and Michaela Anderson is my committee aide. As far as cell phones go, silence them if you got them. So we're going to be continuing amendments on SB 170, the Marine Highway Corporation. Amendments are organized in order of the bill. We're going to be starting with amendment number 16. That's W.31. That is by Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 16.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment 16 pretty close to exactly rolls the governor's bill on the non-sweepable Marine Highway System Fund into this bill. So it, it does all those same things that protect it from the sweep. It's housed in a corporation. It can be used for specified purposes without further appropriation, et cetera. And it does make clear that the corporation can use the money in the vessel replacement account for the capital improvements. So that's Amendment 16.
All right. Thank you. So the one question I had when I read over this amendment is the original language of the bill put the same fund, but they put it inside of the corporation, whereas this amendment, I believe, puts it inside of the Treasury. So the sweep was already not an issue, if I understood it correctly from Ledge Legal when we had it drafted. So I'm curious as to why the change.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you take a look at line four there, this amendment says that the system fund is created in the corporation.
Okay. Let's see that. Let me double check that. Okay, so if we've and that's pretty close to the language that we had in the original, so I'm trying to figure out the substance of the change and why, I suppose.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the target here actually was to as closely as I could match the governor's bill. How often do the governor and I align closely? But for the specific details of how the governor's bill differs from the existing provisions of the bill to get the real detailed analysis, I might ask my staff to come up and give us a hand with the nitty gritty.
Ms. Linghite, please approach and put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
For the record, Kathy Schlinghide, staff to Senator Keel. This language is relatively similar to what's in the bill. It uses different language to explain or to clarify that the fund can't be swept. This is the language that the administration had testified would prevent this from being a sweepable fund. It adds a few changes to the governor's bill. So on page one of the amendment, lines 20 to 22, it clarifies that the vessel maintenance and replacement account can be used for capital improvements because the governor's bill had created them as two separate accounts rather than as a sub-account.
Okay. Okay.
I think, Mr. Chairman, if I may, the other language that matches the governor's bill is there at line 13 of the amendment that helps direct the spending without further appropriation, and that is it has to be consistent with the program and financial plan prepared under the Executive Budget Act. So that's some additional language that matches the governor's proposal.
Okay, thank you. Senator Machicki?
I don't have a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I thought you were raising your hand for that. Okay. Well, as the general rule goes, more specificity is better than less. So seeing nothing else, concerning about the amendment. I'm going to go ahead and withdraw my objection to Amendment 16. Is there further objection? Seeing none, Amendment 16 passes. Moves us on to number 17. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 17, which is labeled from Legal Services W.34.
And I will object for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This replaces the bill's language about the corporation paying a dividend. And the language is something I wrote after some conceptual discussions with the Senate President as well. The notion here is that the corporation can keep in its funds 1.5 years operating costs, basically, and that after that, then we look to it paying a dividend back to the general fund. The amendment does exclude the vessel maintenance replacement account, of course, because we want that to be able to build up sufficient funds to buy some expensive stuff.
I will say that has one thing that has become clear with this bill is that these ferries are expensive. all right. Any additional comments on the amendment? Seeing none.
Senator Majicki? I don't mind while your objection is on. I just, if we're talking about an independent corporation, I don't want them coming back. I'd like for them someday to be self-sufficient, and I think this allows that to occur. But often ridership and other costs are a roller coaster ride. This gives them the room to control their costs in that, and with those fluctuations of fuel costs and things like that. And hopefully they're at some point independent and successful enough through this independent corporation that they would be feeding dollars back without us having to subsidize at the level we have. Hopefully someday not at all.
All right, I would tend to agree with those sentiments. Seeing no other comments, I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection on Amendment 17. And seeing no further objection, Amendment 17 passes. Moves us on to Amendment 18. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 18, which is W.32.
And I will object for discussion purposes.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is very comparable to an amendment we saw just a minute ago. It applies the governor's approach in Senate Bill 226, the non-sweepable account bill, to the vessel maintenance and replacement account. Again, the language will look very, very familiar to you. It's a sub-account in the system fund, which is actually the same as the existing SB 170, which helps avoid the dedicated funds issue. It does add some language that you'll see at the bottom to replace language in the bill that I kept getting confused about when I read it. It requires the corporation to deposit money each year to cover the state's share of depreciation and to adjust that as inflation and the rising costs of construction go on. So this language is designed to make sure that this corporation saves what it needs to maintain and repair those vessels. It does allow the corporation to consider federal share funding when it calculates that share.
Okay, thank you, Senator Keel. I will say I think this is a bit of an improvement over the original language in the bill. Had a similar vision, trying to get the corporation to plan ahead for the future, knowing that boats depreciate and we'd have to maintain them and fix them and replace them at some point. But I do like this language a little bit better. I think it still achieves the same function while giving a little bit more flexibility. And I do appreciate the attention to inflation and rising costs of construction, as we've seen that quite a bit over the last 12 months or so. So, all righty. Any other comments on number 18? Seeing none, I will go ahead and remove my objection. And Amendment 18 passes. Moving on to Amendment number 19, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer amendment. I move Amendment 19, which is labeled W.22.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to start with a basic description, and then I have actually an amendment to it. The the basic notion of this amendment is to clarify the nature of the assurance agreement and to simplify our control on what the statute spells out for how that assurance agreement works. So this amendment makes it clear that the assurance agreement is between the corporation and the legislature. And then instead of a pretty prescriptive list of ports, this amendment would require the assurance agreement to cover the three main regions that the Marine Highway System covers now. And with that, I think in conversations with your office, we found a couple of weaknesses. And so I have conceptual amendment one to amendment number 19. Do the members have that? I want to make sure.
This one. Yes.
Yes, conceptual amendment one to amendment W.
So, I do not have that.
Okay. We have a briefing,
wait,
Mr.
Wait,
Chairman. Move conceptual amendment one to amendment 19.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is a little bit of tidy up. This would insert that it is the level of appropriation that is evidence, gives evidence of the legislature's approval of the assurance agreement. We didn't want the legislature to have to pass a separate standalone bill each year. We didn't want to give the power just to the transportation chairman, as good as the current transportation chairman, as we didn't know who the next one would be. So for it to be the best representation we can of an agreement of the entire legislature, this would clarify that it is our appropriation level that will evidence the assurance agreement. Makes one other change, and that is for the Southeast region, it would specify that the Southeast includes terminals outside of the state, so that we would say, you know, we would talk about the level of service too, whether that's Bellingham or Rupert or both, that would be covered.
Okay. Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question when we say the word insurance. Now, we've gone round and round on the PFD and other things about the legislature can pretty much do whatever the heck it wants and laws don't matter. So that being said, how does this work when it says shall approve the insurance agreement evidenced by level of appropriation to guarantee funding for? Nothing is guaranteed. I hear a lot of talk about not locking in future legislatures. Much has been made of that point. So how does this affect that? Because it seems like we're kind of at odds here, and I'm asking that from the perspective of all the debates and arguments we've had on what we can and can't do and pretty much can do anything. So how would that affect us, and how would that be applied with the rulings and other things we've already dealt with that says we can't lock anything into the future?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may. That copies language from the underlying bill. If it is the level of appropriation for a given year, that is 1 year's worth of guaranteeing the funding. Of course, the level of appropriation has one step past the House and Senate, right? There is a governor. But the term guarantee is used there as a description of it's an assurance agreement, what we assure that level of service will be for the year for which we are budgeting the money. So it's not an attempt to guarantee the next 5 years. That's not the vision. I don't believe that's the bill sponsor's vision. But it is for the term of the agreement, and we're probably going to do that a year, or I guess we have the calendar year, so 18 months out. But if the corporation needs general funds, they're going to get them a year at a time, just like any state entity. If we reach Senator Michicki's vision, and they get to totally independent, the assurance agreement would be pretty simple.
Well, I share a little bit of Senator Schauer's reticence. What I get worried about is that the language is as evidenced by the level of appropriation. And so one of the things that appealed to me about the concept of the yearly assurance contract when the concept was brought to me last year was that we would be able to just have a straight up or down, because what we've seen with the Marine Highway System over the years is where we're gonna tinker a little bit here. We'll knock a couple million off here. We'll add 5 million next, you know, a couple of years later, back and forth. And the idea was to try to just have a straight up or down vote that we wouldn't tinker with it. And you know, we'd get this thing hammered out, and then we you know, as we went through the budget process, that's there and we weren't going to mess with it. And that's the portion of it that concerns me. I do appreciate the second portion of the conceptual amendment, adding the terminals outside of the state, that is appropriate. But I'm a little bit concerned about adding the level of appropriation, because that can get changed through the budget process.
Another question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Jarry.
So in addition to that, and again asking the question for the process, that really is part of what this is about, in addition to the other philosophical things. And I'm asking Senator Keel for this, or maybe if there's a lifeline, or Andy. It says to guarantee funding for, when we have that assurance, the governor decides to veto it. Does that mean he can't? Are we doing something with the separation of powers? It's generating some questions for me here, because I just feel like that this maybe goes against a lot of the things that I've been hearing build up as arguments for how we can do business here. And I'm not saying for sure that it does, but something about this strikes me as a little bit, I'm just having a little bit of a problem with it.
Okay.
Maybe you can answer that for somebody.
Okay. Senator Keel?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, one of the fundamental premises of the bill is that we'll have an agreement between the corporation and the state. And so we need to define who that is. So this says it's the legislature. And I mean, what are we assuring with the agreement? Well, we're assuring a certain levels of service in exchange for certain level of funding authorization. Is that, do we create a greater protection than the Constitution allows? Well, no, of course not. The bill can't, we can't. But within the confines of this structure we're setting up, maybe there's other words for it, but to the extent a subsidy, an investment of public dollars is needed to get that level of service, this would determine how we set that out. And of course, the veto pen still exists. I can't change it. When it's a governor, I often disagree with. I'd like to change that, but.
Well, Senator Keel, I would agree with you that the veto authority is still there. I don't think that what we're doing here is anything approaching constitutional issues. We're still sticking with a single year at a time, so I think we're on good legal and constitutional ground there. I'm just thinking about it from a process perspective. I think it might move us in the right direction. Is it perfect? I don't know. I think it's something for us to think about as we try to move forward with the bill. I mean, I think it's relatively clear that where we've got this bill here the first week of May, that we're not passing this thing this year. So, as we move forward with the concept, next year, I think this is something that we're going to have to think about. So, if we see any other comments or questions,
I have a question.
Senator Machicki.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was confused by page 1, line 10, but that's actually the conceptual to the amendment.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's page 1 of the amendment, line 10.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if it looks like the amendment might fail, I'd be willing to suggest that we delete the first section of conceptual amendment number 1. I think including terminals outside of the state is an important aspect.
Uh-huh. What I'm thinking right now is I was going to go ahead and support the conceptual amendment for now. And it's, again, the language I'm not sure is perfect, but the language in the underlying bill I don't think is necessarily perfect either. So I think it may be a step in the right direction for us. It again, something for us to work on moving forward with the next iteration of the bill. I'd like to work with particularly Senator Keel a little bit over the interim and see if that's something else that we need to alter. Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chairman, we don't guarantee a level of funding for any corporation. And through correct. The years, we have been through struggles where we've encouraged other behavior in some ways that have been very effective through that negotiation. So I have a problem of the guaranteed funding for a level of appropriation.
Okay. All right. So would you move to divide the question then?
I would. I move to divide the question on conceptual amendment number one, separating the first page one through three and amendment page one, line 10.
Okay. And seeing no objection, the question is divided. And then, so then I will maintain my objection on the first half of the amendment, or first half of the conceptual amendment, I should say. And Senator Keel.
Oh, we've discussed it. I'm ready for that vote on the first undivided question.
Okay. All right. Madam Secretary.
Senator Schauer.
Mr. Chair, can we just be clear on what we're voting on each one, so I know for a fact that we didn't state that.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we're voting on the
divided question.
We've already divided. Okay. We're voting on the top half. Just the top, so just the top half. Yep.
So, no.
Senator Bishop absent. Senator Machicki.
No.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
No. All right. So the top half of the amendment has failed. So moving on to the second half of the amendment, where we are inserting terminals outside of the state into amendment number 19, I will go ahead and withdraw my objection. Seeing no further objection, the second half of the conceptual amendment passes. So that brings us back to Amendment 19 as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I move conceptual amendment number 2.
And I will object for purpose of description and discussion.
So we're back to the main amendment on page 1, line 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this several times. This corporation may decide they move into, which I actually think could expand service in the system. My conceptual amendment is adding the words after sailings or other service delivery option in the following regions of the state. This seems to point at system sailings, and I just wanted to clarify that there we may be able to expand service with private sector options in that might actually expand service to particularly smaller communities.
Okay.
Yes, after the word sailings in line 6, the words or other service delivery option, and then moving on to in the following regions of the state.
All right. Clarifying question. Senator Schauer.
Yeah. Senator Chicky, you said that, and I agree, and I just want to clear for the record, there has been discussion about cargo and the possible implications of that with the ferry system taking cargo being subsidized against private corporations. And I'm only asking this more for the committee and on the record. This would not include, and his didn't, but that does not include any discussion about other service being cargo. Is that correct? Or does it?
My view is that it does absolutely include cargo options as well. Right. Senator Schauer.
All right, and so a following question, mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, just so as we discuss this, that question has never been fully answered that has been asked in the past about are we broaching some kind of problem by carrying cargo being subsidized by the state, so it would be nice to get that answer at some point, and I just ask that for us to have that discussion, because I'm not against it. It wouldn't bother me at all. I've just heard allegations in this committee previously about carrying cargo and how that might present a problem for us because some corporations or some companies are carrying cargo without being subsidized. Some are not my lane, and I'm not saying it's wrong, and not that I would even oppose it. I would just like to know a good legal answer if we could get that so we know what we're dealing with, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Maybe Andy might have an answer for us. I don't know. Or no.
Mr. Mills, do you have a comment? Okay.
For the record, Andy Mills, legislative liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. In answer to the question through the chair, Senator Schauer, I know that we do consider the providing service and that part of that service could accompany large trucks and cargo, even light freight on the vessels. I know I have been told by AMHS staff, and Captain Falvey can probably affirm this statement, that that is not the focus of the Alaska Marine Highway System. And in fact, I want to say I remember a certain length differential in price. If you go over a certain length, that the differential in price of that goes up fairly substantially, and that is to disincentivize cargo, large cargo containers and stuff being on the ferry at a reduced or some could say subsidized rate. So there, I think the system is built in such a way that we try to provide service for cars and individuals as a road would, but not necessarily take service from barging or other private services. And while I'm here, I did want to note for the three regions in my Amendment 19, would that be restrictive of potential routes in other parts of the state, such as up the Kuskokwim along the west coast of Alaska or the north? Would this language present an issue for expanded service in other parts of the state, since we're having the conversation?
That is a good question. I would, since we're on to the conceptual amendment at the moment, I'd like to hold on to that, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Senator Schauer.
So just an official request of the committee, if we could perhaps ask law or Ledge Legal or whoever, if they could just address the question, because it's never been answered. I just want to know. Like I said, I'm not opposing it, and it actually doesn't bother me necessarily. I just want to know that we're not doing something that might put us on tenuous legal grounds or present a challenge to us if we do that, and then that comes back, because that has been mentioned without an answer. So if we could work on that one or get it for the committee's sake, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you, Senator Schauer. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just on the conceptual amendment too, I don't think it's necessary to get at what Senator Michicki was after. If we look at the powers and duties of the corporation, among them are to establish the routes, schedules, and types of service to be provided by the system, and then we have the outsource language and all that that we kept clear in previous discussion of amendments. So, I mean, unless we're talking about delivery by air, although maybe we want to get into the marine and airship highway. I guess it's not particularly necessary to get to what the sponsor described. I don't imagine it does vast harm. But
okay. Fair enough. All right. Seeing no other discussion on the conceptual amendment, any other comments, Senator Michicki?
No.
Okay. I'll go ahead and remove my objection for conceptual amendment 2, which then brings us back to amendment number 19 as amended. And I'd like to go back to Senator Keel. Mr. Mills brought up a good question there on lines 8 through 12 of the amendment and how that might work on if we possibly, you know, work our way around the Aleutians and up to the next section of the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that just like the underlying bill, this is silent on additional routes or service areas of Alaska. I suppose we could push southwest and think Dillingham, generally that level of expansion I don't think is clearly contemplated in the underlying bill or this amendment.
Okay. I will say with the bill, well, I can agree in theory that the that expansion is fine. You know, a lot of the goal of the bill was to stabilize the system we've got first, and you know, maybe in 10 years we could think about significant expansions. But outside of current service areas, maybe that's a question for a little further on down the road. So I think it's something to keep in the back of our minds, but I'm not concerned about it just yet. Any other comments on amendment number 19 as amended? Seeing none, I will remove my objection to amendment 19. Seeing no further objection, it passes. That brings us on to amendment number 20. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 20, which is labeled W.23.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is a replacement for some of the language in the bill about how the corporation is to set its rates, its fees, what it's to account for. It removes the language about 80% minimum cost recovery on each sailing and the per sailing cost estimates. And what it replaces it with, you see there in the amendment, right, that the corporation needs an overall cost recovery rate. They've got to include fuel, labor, overhead, maintenance, and that they may see a need to set different cost recovery rates for different routes or vessels, right? I think some routes that the system runs today have the opportunity to generate more money than they cost if things are done well and right. Some probably will never cover their full boat on an individual rate basis. So this provides the corporation a little more flexibility in how they do that rate setting.
Okay. I will say, so the concept behind the 80% cost recovery rate, we were looking for we were trying to find a balance and say we wanted to not make it 100%, because we wanted the corporation to have an opportunity to make a little bit of cash, as you said, on a couple of routes where it might prove possible in the future. But on the other hand, we didn't want to give them free rein and say, well, the state's going to cover it anyway, and then we're back in the same boat that we're at now. And so we were that was the goal there. And I'm a little worried, you know, as we've talked about different aspects of the bill, that we've talked about, you know, trying to balance out being too prescriptive or too permissive. And I'm worried that this one gets a little bit more onto the too permissive side, and we'll be back into the same situation where we're in now with the legislature subsidizing more of the operation. Senator Bachicki?
I see this as being the opposite of that personally. He's actually talking about the overall cost recovery rate, not 80%, and in this amendment. So I talked about this on the record. I was going to do an amendment to each sailing thing. This actually allows you to kind of do a system-wide thing, and then as fuel costs go up or down, they can put in a simple adjustment rate on the current price of fuel. They could actually deliver that result easier than this each sailing thing. I don't support the each sailing thing in the bill. That's the amount of labor that would have to go into that option would be exhaustive. So you could have your whole schedule programmed in. You could plug in your uncontrollable costs as they adjust and deliver the overall cost recovery. So it's not on 80%. It's the overall cost recovery break even that the corporation could deliver much simpler. So I support this amendment. I think it gets a better result than what was in the bill originally, personally.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments? Amendment number 20. All right. Well, Senator Bachicki, I think you have swayed me a little bit on this one. So I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection for amendment number 20. And seeing no further objection, Amendment 20 passes. With that, it goes to Amendment 21, which was from myself, but I think it's been Amendment 21 was trying to take care of the same problem in a different way, so I'm going to go ahead and not offer Amendment 21. And at the moment, and we'll move on to Amendment 22, which is myself. So I will move Amendment 22.
I object, Mr. Chair. Forgot it's been so many other ones. Thank you.
If you'd like, you can object to Senator Keel's as well. I wouldn't mind. But,
there's no virtue in that.
So Amendment 22, we were just trying to bring a little bit more specificity in here. One thing that has been brought up by multiple parties in discussing the bill is that this is something that the state did near the end of last year while we were still working on it, was noting that it is useful for the corporation and for the Marine Highway System to have a different fiscal year than the state. And so we were simply trying to specify that the assurance agreement would follow the fiscal year of the corporation, not necessarily the fiscal year of the state. Just putting it straight out there. So, all right. Makes great sense. Seeing no, Senator Machicki, did you have a comment?
Yeah, they're technically on a calendar year. Because it doesn't matter if you're matching the fiscal year of the corporation. The fiscal year could be a calendar year or a traditional fiscal year. No, I like it. That's a good catch.
Yeah. When we put the bill together, we weren't last year prior to the change to the calendar year system for the Marine Highway System that we've got now, as we were mulling over different options, one option, of course, was the calendar year. Another one that popped through my head is a possibility of a year matching the federal fiscal year starting October 1st, because that would avoid the tourist season and stuff as well. And I wasn't sure which way they wanted to go with it, and just didn't want to be prescriptive in that as well. So, yep, just trying to keep the options open. So, all righty. Seeing no other comments, Senator Schauer, do you maintain your objection?
I remove my objection, Mr. Chair.
All right. With seeing no further objection, Amendment 22 passes. With that, we are going to move to Amendment 23. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 23, which is labeled W.33.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This puts a comeback to the legislature rule when the corporation wants to issue bonds for more than $5 million. So the railroad needs legislative approval for the first dollar of bonding. That seems overly prescriptive for them, seems overly prescriptive for this corporation. a $5 million allowance lets them, gives the corporation some flexibility, especially for, opportunities that might involve a commercial partner. But doesn't let them get the state, because ultimately it's a public corporation, into terrible deep trouble. So worked on this in concept. Again, the language and drafting are mine in concept with Senator Machicki. And so that's Amendment 23.
All right. Senator Schauer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So I'm in concept again. I'm not necessarily opposed to this. You said yourself, we're talking about bonding and for really expensive things like boats. They're not cheap. So my question, though, is on the process of this. We want to create this organization that is more flexible and nimble and able to meet the demands and do these things. So the question I have is, when we say legislature by law, we all know just how fast this building moves on things that has to happen. Are we not necessarily putting that very corporation that we want to become flexible into a square corner, waiting to do something for 2 years in which this body may never do? So I just have a question of how we would do that, because that's my concern, is we know we can sit on something for politics or whatever, and then we just put the brakes on the very reason we're doing this, or at least one of the reasons. So I have a bit of a concern, not about the concept behind it, but that we are going to make this hard for them to actually execute part of the mission we want them to. I'd like to talk about that.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Legitimate concern. I look back at the history we have. the railroad periodically brings in a bonding proposal. And generally, in my experience, when the railroad has done its due diligence and their board has brought something forward to us, governor has submitted a bill, it tends to make it through, because generally we all look at it and go, they did their homework and this makes sense. ADA requires legislative approval for bonds over a certain amount. Again, generally those have gone through. They have an annoying tendency to pick up authorization to borrow for things ADA is never going to borrow for, but that authorization sits empty on the books. So that, I think, is why that $5 million allowance without coming to us is in there, right? Some ability for them to borrow for small things. But as you noted, as the senator noted when he started, you can't buy a new ferry for $5 million. That's a decision you're going to have to work with the legislature.
Senator Schauer.
So I was wondering perhaps if Andy could speak to that, and not, again, I don't disagree on the big purchases and the concept behind it. My concern is, and just see if DOT has an opinion, is this the appropriate level? Maybe a million's better, maybe 10 million's better. Where would we get into that range of where we're starting, other than buying very expensive boats? Where are we potentially limiting the ability of this corporation to do what we're asking it to be nimble, flexible, to respond quickly? Maybe this is okay. I'm not opposing it necessarily, like I said, on concept, but is this the right amount? Too much, too little? Should it be higher to give you more flexibility? I'd like to know that, because I've made my concern clear. So just see what DOT says. Thanks.
And again, for the record, Andy Mills. Through the chair, Senator Schauer, when we were reviewing these amendments, that was one of the few that we had flagged as being potentially problematic for our future corporation. We happen to have Captain Falvey on the line, and this is a great one for him to field, I think, to give that range of what is $5 million too restrictive? Is there a number that might be better, or even a lower number? Let's toss that to him, see if he has a good answer.
Captain Falvey, if you can hear us.
Yes. Yes, Captain Falvey. For the record, Captain John Falvey, General Manager, Oscoming Highway System, through the chair, Senator Schauer. Yeah, the $5 million, we can get into projects that, let me just use an example. The current Testamina capital improvement project underway in Seward's, a $9.2 million project. We can spend $5 million, fairly easily, and depending upon how long, we would have to wait to get that sort of approval could delay a project, technically speaking. Day in and day out, $5 million, the things we need to do on a day-to-day basis would be sufficient. But, we can spend $5 million easily when we get into larger projects.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you. Captain, just one more question for you, trying to think about this, is that you just mentioned one that's 9.2. If we had an average, and that's really, I guess, what I'm asking, because I agree with the concept of having big purchases that could, everything that was said, why we would want that to happen, but countering that or balancing that with the concern of not stopping you from something like you just mentioned, 9.2 to get some maintenance done so the boat can get back in operation and not having to potentially wait 2 years to do it for approval. So in your experience, is there a better number that would fall under most things you would need to not do that, barring a large purchase of like a new vessel? Could you have any comments on that, on what might be a better number if there was one?
Well, for the record, Captain Valley, Senator Schauer, it's tough to say. When we did the repower, three or four years ago on the Matanuska, that was a major rebuilding of the engine room. That was just a little over $40 million. The numbers can swing widely. We do about $16 to $18 million, in variable formula funds money every year. And of course, we don't have to use it every year, but the numbers can vary. We're going to do an overhaul this coming summer on the Latuya, the little Latuya, 195 feet, where it's going to be completely painted, some maintenance because it's not that big of a ship, but it's going to be completely painted from the keel to the radar antenna, $2.5 million. So, I mean, just give, I mean, there's a range. I mean, it'd be very hard to try to pinpoint a number, but I mean, I would recommend not below 5 million, you know, maybe 10 million might be a better number, but it's just hard to say.
Just Captain Falvey, just a thought getting off of the water. You know, the Marine Highway System owns some terminal facilities as well. Last couple of times you've had to do a major overhaul of a terminal facility, what's been the price range there?
That can get into, for the record, that can get into 10, 12 million, 15 million, depends.
Okay.
Depends on the work we're doing. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Senator Keel and then Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am not hardwired on $5 million. It's reasonable to talk about the number. I think as we look at the capital expense costs, there are two things to keep in mind. The biggest projects, the Tustamina replacement, repowering the MAT, $15 million with a terminal, those are all federally qualified projects, mm-hmm. right? So it's not, you know, all state money. That's consideration one. The other is that the vision here, as I understand the bill, is that we don't want to get into borrowing our capital spend. Mm-hmm. We don't do that today, right? So that the notion is not that the bonding authority in the bill would be to borrow all the capital spend for all the boats and all the terminals, or even the state's share of that. So, you know, obviously the bill sponsor can speak best to the general need for bonding authority. But in terms of great big projects where the state's share would be in excess of whatever limit we might choose to set here, that's really what we're talking about. That's one of the things we're talking about. Or for small projects, for small opportunities, you know, I know the University of Alaska has used its bonding authority to replace a decrepit building with a new one. Well, maybe not in your district, Mr. Chairman, but in mine.
Senator Machicki.
So a couple of things. I don't think the projects that were listed were bonded, unless I'm wrong, Captain Falvey. So we're talking about bonding specifically. The only corporation we have that's a public corporation of the state that can issue bonds independently is the Alaska Housing Finance Corp. And two of the others have, the Alaska Aerospace and ADA have issued bonds independently with limits. The rest are issue bonds with legislature approval. I think we're leaving the ability to issue bonds. I guess what I was thinking is, what's the right number for a partnership? Say a private entity comes in and says, I'm going to build a dock. We are willing to make that dock designed so that it could increase the level of service deliverability to a new community that might kick up some revenue to the system, but your share is going to be X amount for those. They may choose to bond for that small amount. Above that, it would have to come in the legislature. So I'm not tied to the $5 million number either, but I just wanted to make it clear that the expenditures we were talking about are not related to bonding.
Senator Schauer.
One more comment. And like I said, I don't disagree with any of the comments. My only concern was making sure that we're not, and those are being answered to some degree, that we're not hampering the point of creating a corporation to be nimble and flexible. So I'm open to it, and I'm not even saying it's not the right number. I feel like it might be a tad low based on what I'm hearing, depending on what they do, because it is new and gives some flexibility, but I'm not in opposition to this. I just think we might consider at least maybe something a little higher based on those words, and DOT themselves had some concerns as well. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I wonder if the last senator that spoke has a motion for a conceptual amendment to amendment number 23 on the amount.
Last senator that spoke, Mr. Chair, speaking about the last senator before him that spoke, could make a conceptual amendment to that. But I do believe DOT, I think he had his hand up.
Mr. Mills.
Again, Mr. Mills, Andy Mills for the record. I did want to make a note that I think Captain Talby knew that those were not.
Yes.
But those are the examples he can give you for a range so that you would understand if you were going for something that didn't qualify, the these are the ranges in which we're usually finding ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Understood. All right. Senator Schauer, what, did you have a suggestion on a number?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Just because it's new and where we are in the discussion, I agree with the concept of coming back to the legislature, but I would like to see a little more flexibility just as we move forward. So I just propose we double it. So I would make a conceptual amendment to amendment number 23 that would make it $10 million instead of $5 million if the committee had the will for that.
Okay. I think we kind of, unless somebody's got an objection to it, I don't think we've got a problem with that. So we'll conceptually amend that up to $10 million rather than $5 million. Then brings us back to amendment number 23 as amended. Okay. And any other discussion on amendment 23? Seeing none, I will go ahead and remove my objection to amendment 23. Seeing none further, amendment 23 passes. Brings us over to amendment 24. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment 24, which is labeled W.28.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The language in the bill about where the corporation performs maintenance and ship construction is copied over from, I don't remember now whether it's from existing statute or existing regulations, but the two have a very complex interplay. And amendment 24 seeks to simplify that.
Mm-hmm.
And to say to the department or to the corporation, to the extent practicable, as far as you can, do the work in Alaska. Great. So my notion would be that if you have to give up what was the number on the Tustamina replacement, right, 90% of $270 million, that's probably not practicable, not and still run the corporation. but, you know, if there's a few bucks difference to get the work done at the Seward Shipyard or Ketchikan Ship and Dry Dock, which has a new name I forget now, that's worth it.
All right. Any other comments on amendment 24? Seeing none, I will say that I do like trying to streamline the process. So it's part of the reason for having the bill to begin with. So, Senator Schauer.
Do you have law or anybody on the board?
All we've got really is Captain Falvey.
Okay. Just a generic question. I think the words make it flexible enough. It's not a problem. It's just the same question. I know sometimes the union contracts and inter-agreements with states and other things can be very touchy, and I see the language in here. So I guess my question is, deleting that entire, all that material and just inserting this line for 840 as listed, which is a pretty big section, is there anything by doing that we are going to put our, because you've got other statutes mentioned in here and the ties to them, we're deleting all of that. So is that doing anything that might, because I agree with, again, the concept, is it opening us up to something that we're not addressing for some type of a agreement or contract with the federal government or unions that would cause us issues later? And Senator Keel may be able to answer that question, but I just want to make sure we're not setting ourselves up.
Senator Keel?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that implicates any other existing laws, and certainly if there are contracts that bind the corporation, I would regard that as something that, you know, gets into that to the extent practicable language.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other comments, I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection on Amendment 24. And seeing no other objection, Amendment 24 passes. Moves us on to Amendment 25. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 25, which is labeled W.29.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a revision of the sections of existing law that do not apply to the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than remove all of the sections currently in the bill, it's a little bit more fine-grained approach. just to run through what's left here, this would say that the corporation is allowed to do joint port projects with municipalities or other parts of the state. This would also leave the corporation exempt from some of the pretty restrictive rules on public facilities construction administration, on acquisition and disposition of property. I think the things that the underlying bill very much correctly wanted to exempt them from. On the other hand, it would still require the corporation to follow building and zoning codes. It would still keep them into a law that gives state entities the option of letting a municipality do their projects under contract. Would keep them under the law letting the legislature name their buildings, and we've done that with a few, including here in my district, the Frank Palmer Off Bay Ferry Terminal. This amendment would delete the exemption from the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, a statute that was deleted in 2018.
All righty, understood. Any other comment on Amendment 25?
Just a brief at ease, Mr. Chairman.
Brief at ease. All right, back on the record, making sure we had the right statutes. Senator Keel, if you could summarize a little bit of what you just said.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So within Title 35, I think it's worth going through maybe what these remaining exemptions are, right? This amendment leaves the corporation exempt from the existing statutes on acquisition and disposition of property because the bill speaks to that extensively. It leaves the corporation exempt from statutes about utilities and encroachment in public facilities because the bill gives the corporation significant authority to manage its lands, right? And easements. We actually did easements earlier. This leaves the corporation exempt from statutes on harbors, dikes, and jetties because they're in the maritime business and they're going to be working on these things. and shouldn't be subject to very old rules dealing with the state, for instance, harbor program that doesn't functionally exist anymore. Leaves the corporation exempt from some of the statute language on finance and procurement because we have given the board financial authority. And it leaves them exempt from existing statutes on public building administration because, again, right, we have got a board with significant financial and management experience and responsibility for its assets.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other comments on Amendment 25? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection on Amendment 25. Seeing no other objection, Amendment 25 passes. Moves us on to Amendment 26, which comes from me. So I will move Amendment 26. Senator Schauer?
I will object, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. So Amendment 26 is pretty straightforward. We're just taking the effective dates of the bill, the dates at which the corporation would be created, the dates at which the corporation would assume responsibility over the system, and removing them from the summer to during the winter season. We're trying to align with the change to the calendar year, and again, aligning with the idea that it's probably going to be a good idea for them to stay on a calendar year or something similar for their operations anyway, instead of trying to do some sort of a handover right in the middle of the busiest part of the year. So, straightforward concept. All right. Seeing no other comments, Senator Schauer, do you move your do you maintain your objection?
I do not move it, but I do remove my objection, Mr. Chairman.
I'll get the right word eventually. Seeing no further objection, Amendment 26 passes. Moves us on to Amendment 27.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 27, labeled W.3030.
All righty, and I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment allows the existing contracts between the state and the unions that represent employees for the Marine Highway System to remain in effect until the current contracts end, and at that point, it is up to the corporation and its employees to negotiate new contracts. So this avoids any constitutional issues with impairment of contract or any of that stuff. The existing rules agreements govern at the transition until whatever their existing expiration date is, and then the corporation and its employees do their thing.
Okay.
Hopefully they've done it before the actual transition date.
So I will say I've gone back and forth on this one. We had a discussion with a couple of the unions a few months ago and prior to session starting and broached the concept of the bill with them, and they brought this issue up specifically. They wanted to keep the contracts that they have. I've gone back and forth on it because on the one hand, I want to negotiate in good faith with the unions and it would seems a smoother transition to stick with the contract you've already got, knowing you're going to renegotiate in a year or two anyway. On the other hand, we've talked about how sometimes some of the union contracts have been part of the reason that the Marine Highway System has had some problems. And so I've really gone back and forth on this one. I'm still not sure where I sit completely. So, Senator Machicki.
Can we get Captain Falvey on the line, perhaps?
Captain Falvey, if you're still there.
For the record, Captain Falvey, General Manager, Marine Highway, through the chair. Senator Machicki, could you repeat the question? I think I got it, but I just want to be sure.
Well, I haven't asked one yet, but I have a statement. Captain Falvey, I know your system, and I know why you were giving examples before. I was actually just clarifying those projects for the committee, not you.
No, I was just trying to give you some estimates on cost ranges for projects.
Right, I understand. So the question I have is, when do these current contracts expire?
For the record, Captain Falvey, we're negotiating contracts as we speak, and they expire this July 1st.
And the next set of contracts, if this bill does not pass this year, would expire when?
They're three-year contracts, Senator.
So I just wanted to put it in context. If this bill didn't pass this year, you may have only 2 years remaining, or perhaps 1 year remaining when there was a board.
Yes, that's correct. We're very hopeful we'll have all three unions signed by July 1. Of course, a lot of that depends on when you leave session too, because that's part of it as far as the financial end of it.
And Captain Falvey, there's always the ability to reopen negotiations. If there were a different service option or changes to the system, is that correct?
Captain Falvey, I think that's a question maybe better answered by labor relations.
Just a quick question, Captain Falvey, to follow up on the timing concept. I know that a lot of the other unions in the state, we try to offset them, so we're not trying to negotiate all of them at the same time and having them all end at the same time. Are the three, or I guess five, unions you guys are negotiating with potentially, are they all on the same schedule, or is there any offset there?
Captain Falvey, well, I believe the three maritime unions, they're pretty much on the same schedule, although I believe a few of them were operating under rollovers. You know, we did, I believe, get a contract with the Inland Boatman's Union 3 years ago. So I do believe they're pretty much on the same schedule, because when we negotiate, we tend to negotiate all three at once. I'm not sure about the other shoreside unions. For the shoreside staff, is that what you were maybe asking?
Well, I was thinking primarily of the Marine Union, so I appreciate that. I know we deal with the shoreside staff as well, but that's not as big of an issue. Still an issue, of course, but not as big of one as the Marine Unions.
Yeah, we normally negotiate all three at the same time.
Oh, that's normal operations? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Any other comments on Amendment 27?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess the point I was trying to make is it may not matter. And if I believe that negotiations can be reopened, and if I believe that both sides always have that option, so I guess that's my only point, is it may not matter as far as this bill is concerned or future operation of the system.
Okay, understood. Senator Keel.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very briefly, I agree. Negotiations can be reopened if both parties agree. Nothing in this amendment would stop that from happening. The timing of how long the contracts end up being, I can't call exactly how long that is. So I just figured clarifying the language so that we don't get into any Article 1, Section 15 problems about impairment of contract just made sense to me.
That's a fair point. I hadn't thought about the constitutional issue with regard to this bill, to this section of the bill earlier on, so that's a fair point. With that, I'm going to go ahead and withdraw my objection to Amendment 27. Seeing no further objection, Amendment 27 passes. Brings us on to Amendment 28 by myself. Senator I will go ahead and move. That was on me.
Yes.
That was on me. So I will move Amendment 28.
And I will object.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. So the point here was we were just trying to clarify something we thought we might have missed in the original drafting, clarifying that when we transfer over the ownership of the assets of the Marine Highway Division to the corporation, that we're making sure that not only are we transferring the land that the division owns, but it would also be including any leases. We talked about leasing different docks and facilities and making sure that got included as well. So, any Senator Schauer?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to make a comment before about the property that we were discussing under the statutes that Senator Steele read out, because that has been a problem with the railroad. And there's a lot of things that are percolating right now. We've had that discussion in this committee for people, for lack of a better term, hate to use that in the context in this building right now, but getting rolled by the railroad. So I have a little bit of a concern, but I know it's not going to be quite the same because of the, most of the routes are water, so it's not the same. However, but I did want to put it on there that it's just something we should pay attention to when we're talking property and the rights moving forward, because one of the ports I have of the two I have in my district has had this issue with the railroad and the city and other things. So even a static place can have a problem. So I just think it needs to be, you know, the intent of us that we're not going to, or we're going to keep an eye on how these property agreements work in the future so that we're not causing problems, because that's clearly something we're still dealing with. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. So just to clarify that a little bit, I do understand and agree with your point on the railroad and its property management. A couple of differences between the railroad and this corporation. One is the railroad has not been under the Executive Budget Act, and this corporation is, and so that makes them quite a bit more accountable to the legislature and how they use their assets, land included. The other one is that the railroad was given, when it was under the federal government and then transferred to the state, a lot of land came with it that was not necessarily used by the railroad, but that was given to the railroad as a cash source. And we're not doing that here. We're simply trying to give it the property that it uses for its business and not giving it any property just to make money on. So I think we got a little bit different of a beast. It's a fair point. We don't want another corporation to be having some poor relations with its neighbors, but I do think we've got some significant differences there. So, Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I acknowledge all those points. I just think it's something we should put on the record. It's a problem we're dealing with today. I don't want to create another monster. I just want them to know that it's something we're going to pay attention to, and we should as we move forward. And I don't foresee the same problems. I just want it on the record. Thank you.
Fair enough. All right. Any other comments on Amendment 28? Seeing none. Senator Schauer, do you maintain your objection?
I remove my objection, Mr. Chair.
All right. With seeing no further objection, Amendment 28 passes. That brings us back to the end, except we've got one other one that we rolled over from last time. Going back to all the way back to Amendment number 1, Senator Keel. If memory serves, the amendment was not officially withdrawn, so we don't have to move it.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I have a conceptual amendment to Amendment 1. Let me hand these down the line in case you don't already have them. While they're being passed out, I will move Conceptual Amendment 1 to Amendment 1.
All righty. And I will go ahead and object to Conceptual Amendment number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To much as it pains me, because I am a great advocate of public art, what this Conceptual Amendment does is reduce the scope of what's covered in the 1% for Art program when it comes to the vessels. So what this says is the first $100 million of a vessel, so that's more than we spent on the day boats, right? Those were about $60 million. Mm-hmm. That qualifies for the 1% for Art program. But for any vessel costs above $100 million, we go half. So effectively, we only count half of that value above $100 million in the public art program. And so that continues to get us the benefits that public art brings on the vessels, to the communities, to the people. But when we talk about, there was conversation at the last hearing, when we talk about a $270 million vessel, it dramatically lowers the price tag of what we would invest in public art on that ship. Oh, I know. The one other issue that came up, there was a question the other day about whether the railroad's rolling stock, their engines, their passenger cars, et cetera, are subject to 1% for art. They are not.
Okay. Thank you. Further comment on Conceptual Amendment 1 to Amendment 1? Seeing none. I hate to say this. I worry that we might have to conceptually amend the Amendment 1 because it says for vessels of the Alaska Marine Highway System, and I think we might have to change that to the, given what we're doing in the bill, to a lot the vessels of the Alaska Marine Highway Corporation. What's that? Reconforming? Okay. Well, my trusty committee aide here is telling me that Ledge Legal will take care of that for us, so I won't get too lost in the weeds on that one. Oh, all right. But, so I go back and forth a little bit on the public money for art, because when we're talking about a vessel, that is a significant chunk of change that could be spent on something else inside of it besides what's hanging on the walls or what's carved into the side. I think this makes a decent attempt at a compromise. So I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection to conceptual amendment 1 to amendment 1, which brings us back to amendment 1 as amended. Any other comments on amendment 1 dealing with public art as part of the Marine Highway Corporation vessels?
Mr. Chairman, I'll dive into this a little bit. I understand the value of the 1% for art in public buildings, but the availability to display art on a vessel is significantly constrained in comparison with a public building, which is probably why it's not associated with the railroad. One of the reasons. That is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. If you spent $200 million, you would have $1.5 million on a Alaska Marine Highway vessel. Uh-huh. That would have to go to art. I just wanted to put things in perspective. So that's a lot of money. You know, a lot of money that could go into reducing the cost of a vessel, making the system more survivable in tough times, just those kinds of things that come along with that kind of expenditure on this kind of a vessel. I'll leave it at that. Looking forward to hearing from the sponsor of the amendment and the other committee members.
Senator Keel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's no question that that you know things cost money, and unfortunately, it's I'd like to offer up notions about what we do or don't give up, but really, when you look at the definition of construction cost, it already excludes the design, the admin, the equipment, FF&E. It's really just the structure of the thing and the guts of it. There isn't a lot of additional engine or sponson or bulbous bow that you could build for $1.5 million. Unfortunately, maritime infrastructure costs a lot of money. Certainly, the Senate President is keenly aware of the cost of anything you put on a boat. Just apply a multiplier to what you would have had to spend to get it at a regular hardware store. That said, again, these marine highway vessels are one of the key ways that many people come to our state. They're an introduction to Alaska for a lot of folks, whether it's independent travelers or military families moving to our state who get on at Bellingham or get on at Rupert in some cases. And they're a place that a whole lot of Alaskans spend a whole bunch of time. It is, I think, good and worthwhile that in all our airports, we have the full project cost subject to 1% for art. And I think about some terminal projects in our state that have dwarfed the cost of a ferry. And I think they are better places to be and for commerce to move through because there's something there besides only the concrete and steel that make them functional. And the same dynamic applies here. So this was certainly, as you said, Mr. Chairman, an attempt to compromise on my part. But I think we retain the value of the program overall on our ferry vessels.
Okay. Any other comments on Amendment 1?
Yeah, I think there is.
Senator Michicki?
Just wondering, considering that we're talking about a vessel and not a building, if the I'm generally pretty good at sensing the feel in a committee like this, and I was just wondering if he saw a way to adjust that percentage further downward in a relatively extreme manner that might still support the arts, but not in the 1% range below 100 million and the 0.5% range above 100 million. Less than half of 1% in the higher than 100 million. We're on the record, so it's difficult to negotiate on the record. Full transparency. It's still a lot of money for me.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schauer.
I would suggest the former speaker, to use the quote from a few minutes ago, perhaps he could make a motion to amend. Borrow the term of art, speaking of art.
I didn't do it this time.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move now that we have an amendment, we pass the conceptual amendment. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. We're back on the, back to the, up to the main amendment.
I move conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one.
Conceptual amendment two to amendment number one.
Yes.
There we go. Okay. And I will object for purposes of description and discussion.
For vessels, so line, there's no lines on that amendment. So it would say for vessels, the Alaska Marine Highway System, 10% of the construction cost, and the rest of the words would go away.
Oh, so we would end up with, instead of 1%, we would end up with 0.1%.
So for a $100 million vessel, it would leave $100,000 for art on that vessel.
I think I'll object to conceptual amendment two, Mr. Chairman. I can be negotiable, but that's, My general sense is that that's probably a vessel over 300 feet with probably two decks that have passenger access during the voyage. And I'm spitballing here. $100,000 worth of art is, I think it's tough to attach it to the wall so it withstands the seas for $100,000.
Okay.
Can we take a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. All right. All right, back on the record here. Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chairman, just from nods I've gotten and different signals I'm seeing, which may not be available to the thousands of you at home that are watching this hearing, I'd be willing to tie the conceptual amendment to the rural schools, which is 0.5% for art in this conceptual amendment. I know the secretaries hate that, but I think folks know what we mean quite clearly because we have other statutes that have that 0.5%.
Understood. So, any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I can contain my whining about that. Yes.
All right. So I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the conceptual amendment. So that brings us back to Amendment 1, which is putting the boats and vessels of the Marine Highway Corporation back into the 1% for art, with it modified to being 0.5% for art. So, seeing no other comments on that, I will remove my objection to Amendment Number 1 as amended, and I'm sure I will have a long conversation with my Committee 8 after the committee's over. With that, Amendment Number 1 passes. That brings us back to the bill. And as Amendment Number 1 as amended? Yes, Amendment Number 1 as amended passes. Which brings us back to the bill. I just want to say that this has been a fascinating process, and I am very grateful to the committee members for all of their interest and hard work and patience with myself as we have been moving through this process. And for anybody else who has participated as witnesses or testifiers throughout this process, appreciate your patience and indulgence as well. But with that, Senator Schauer, do we have a motion for the bill?
I think we do, Mr. Chair, after all of that. I move Senate Bill 170, Work Order 32-LS0528/Whiskey, as amended with individual recommendations and forthcoming revised fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, the bill moves from committee. And we'll go ahead and adjourn, and then if you could just hang around for a minute to sign the paperwork. Again, many thanks to the committee members, committee staff, as we've moved through this process. So next meeting is going to be scheduled for next Tuesday, May 10th. And with that, we are adjourned at 3:03 p.m. Thank you.